I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizons, I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me. That was a popular stanza excerpted from My Country, one of the best known works of poetry in Australia by Dorothy McKellar, which perfectly captures the natural beauty and the heart and spirit of Australia. Australia is a country rich in history and culture. Australia's natives, known as Aborigines, are believed to have travelled across the sea from Indonesia 70,000 years ago. Europeans arrived in the 16th century. The Portuguese were first followed by the Dutch and then the English. As a continent, Australia is actually physically similar in size to the USA, Europe and China. But even as it is a big country, it is one of the most sparsely populated in the world. There are quite a number of nomadic Aborigines living in many areas of Australia and have been living on this wide brown land for thousands of years. Wildlife has a reputation of being cute and cuddly animals. Some of these fascinating animals include kangaroos, koalas, possums, dingoes, and Tasmanian devils. Additionally, there are only two species of monotremes in the world, and Australia is home to both of them. The echidnas, a type of spiny anteater, and the platypus. Australia, like most other places in the world, has its own myths and legends. Some of them come from Aboriginal Dreamtime stories, like how the Kookaburra got his laugh, and Waltzing Matilda. The origins of many are unknown. Some legends were written into poems and songs, which in turn evolved into legends as well, and in the telling, the poets themselves also became legends. Modern Australia is host to people from all over the world. Indeed, the country is home to some of the world's most talented people. In literature, the author Patrick White is a Nobel Prize winner, and fellow authors Peter Carey and Thomas Keneally are recipients of the famed Booker Prize. In opera, Dame Joan Sutherland is Australia's best known diva. She was the undisputed coloratura soprano of her time. Nellie Melba was the world's biggest opera star at the beginning of the 20th century. In cinema, Australia is home to Oscar winners Mel Gibson, Russell Crowe and Nicole Kidman. Musically, the country has produced famous bands such as the Bee Gees, AC/DC, INXS and Midnight Oil. In 1993, Sincere Truth Seekers invited Supreme Master Ching Hai to make a stopover during her 1993 World Lecture Tour to share her wisdom and insights about God and spirituality. Supreme Master Ching Hai graciously accepted their invitation. Please join us on Words of Wisdom today for an insightful lecture entitled, It Is You Who Bless Yourself, delivered by Supreme Master Ching Hai in Brisbane, Australia on March 21st, 1993.
Would you tell me why I always get worried, even I don't have many deserve that much?
If you don't deserve being worried, then don't worry.
Some nations or religions find suicide heroic. Some find it fatal for the spiritual survival. What are the spiritual consequences of suicide?
Suicide mostly done in a very depressing state of understanding. Therefore, it's no good. It is a kind of escape from reality and from obstacles and a kind of impatient, short-tempered solution. If we wait a few more days, or maybe a few more weeks, or months, or years, things become different. Suicide is a very terrible crime, because we take away the right of God, which will take us when the time is right. At least, at that moment, we have no God in our mind. We have no faith, no aim in life. That's why we take our life. And because of this depressing state of mind, we will go to a very depressing level of existence. And there we remain long, 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 long until we are fed up with it, until we awaken somehow or through some merciful grace. Then we can be given a new life. But then, that doesn't mean we became intelligent. We'll be a little bit dumb and clumsy and depressive. So I would advise, for whatever reason, please consider and live on and see what God decides for us the next moment.
Do you regard love between two people of the same sex as sexual misconduct?
You get me into trouble. How do I know? I am not in that category. All right, then have one partner at a time. Only one. Okay? Sexual misconduct is in the sense of an ordinary relationship between a man and a woman, that we should be faithful and devoted to each other and helping each other to realize God within both of us. And in the special case, then forgive yourself. Do not think that you are a female or a male in that case, and then have one partner. Try to strive for a higher perfection, a higher love, and a higher reunion within ourselves, which transcends all sex, all races, all creeds, and that is better for you. But at the meantime, keep your relationship in a faithful and a regulated basis. Love means respect and cooperation, mutual supporting, in order that we know a greater love than is existing love at the present in our misunderstanding. In that case, it is all right. We can't help the way we feel if we are unenlightened. So please get enlightenment, and then you will see there is no necessity for this so-called physical love. Even if we still have, there is a different feeling.
If enlightened, do we have to experience earthly life again?
It depends on you. If you have a good master, very gracious one, you don't have to come back. But in case you want to come back again, it's all right, you will. If you do not want to, and sincerely would like to be liberated in one lifetime, you don't. Not at all. Even if you failed in keeping the precepts, even if you failed with the instruction, that you pray to the master, and the master power, who is all merciful, will give you the refuge and take you up forever. Maybe slowly teaching you from upgrading level, but never push you back to the earthly life again.
You say that all Buddha and God and Jesus are one, yet it is in the Bible where God denounces all other gods and false idols. How is this so?
If there is only one God, how can there be false gods? I talk about the one, that one. See, if you have other gods, I can't be responsible. I talk about the one, the only one that you talk about. Why bring other gods in? I say that one God in different names and forms. Just like that one God in the different names and forms form in front of me here. Undiscovered God.
Master, you claim many of us work 8 hours days and forfeit so much. Reality is that many of us work far in excess of 8 hours a day for survival and for our future. How then do we find time for meditation 2 hours daily and enlightenment?
All right, then continue work 8 hours for the world and not for yourself. We can find time if we love ourselves. Think of it. We work 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week or more. What do we get? A wardrobe full of clothes which we change with fashion every now and then, and a belly full of hams and chickens and all that every day. And then when we die, we will get nothing. Is that what we have to labor for? Every day? Fine, do it. But save some time for ourselves, for knowing our greatness. And then, even then, you can use that greatness to work in 8 hours and make it more successful. Make the world more brilliant with our wisdom. Not that I say you don't work, but we can find time anywhere. We can sit on a train, a bus. If you drive a car, don't meditate, okay? But otherwise, no exception anywhere. You can sit while you're resting, and you can watch less television, or talk less on the phone, but save money even, you see? And find time for yourself. Otherwise, we can be enslaved into the worldly system at all times, and without even serving it properly. We be enlightened in order to serve the world better, to work better in these 8 hours or even 5 hours. Now, our friend has introduced you that before he worked sometime, take 3-4 days. And that is true, But I have worked with many of the fellow practitioners, and the way the works are reacting is so slow and so ineffective. But after get training with me for a while, they're very fast. What takes 3 days, we can do it in maybe 5 hours. We do that. We build a garden in 3 days with rivers and trees and everything. With rivers, small rivers. We do that. And we sometimes build build houses or something in very fast way. Just we become more organized within, and we know what is the main point, what to do first, what the next. Therefore, we don't lose time. It is very logical. But we can only see clearly when we are enlightened. We have light inside to illuminate the whole process of everything we do. So if you want to truly work for survival at all, then please get enlightened. You find yourself survive better. And everyone will like your job because you do it better. You do it more conscientiously, more effectively, but less effort. And everyone will trust you. Many of the boss will be too happy to have you as employees. I know this from our disciple circle. Whatever they do, people like it better. And even our disciple, when they work with other people, they train people into a better man also. For example, this morning, one of our fellow practitioners gave me a book that they had printed recently about my photo or something. I said, wow, this is beautiful. Very nice. I didn't know it was so nice. Where did you print it? He said, well, in Taiwan. I said, wow, this man does a good job. And the disciple said, yeah, I trained him. He didn't do it good at first, but we trained him, we pushed him, and we criticized, and we told him how to do it, and sometimes he works so slowly, and we make him work fast. First, he's only just an ordinary printer, you know? And then after a few time working with us, he became rise to manager of the whole company, because the boss so trusts him that he works now so fast, so quick, and so efficiently. You see, it's even an indirect, blessing, and working closer to our fellow initiates.
The Bible states not to worship any other god but He, no idols. Please speak on this in regard to people who wish to worship and idolize you and others.
Am I responsible for anything that anyone else do? They do not idolize me, and they don't worship me. They're just grateful for the guidance that I have taken time to show them. They're just grateful to have the chance to become their own master in their house again. Therefore, they show it by flowers, perhaps, or by wearing my photo to remember me. Of course, if somebody do something good to you, you try to remember him, no? Is that not so? Yes, that is all. But for me, myself, I do not believe in all this worship, because I believe you and I are equal. And doesn't matter how much amount of worship you think people give me, it doesn't alter anything inside me. And sooner or later, all these people will realize that they are also the master, and that's the end of it. Okay. But while they are still young, if they want to do something, give me flowers or that, it's all right. Otherwise, all the florists will go bankrupt. If I don't come here today, I don't know how long they will it takes to sell all these flowers, no? It's all right.
There are many questions that ask about the definition of reincarnation.
Reincarnation is just like staying in one class if we can't pass the exam to a higher grade of education. Or going a little bit further in a different class for kind of retarded children. For example, see, that's it. We change the classroom, and that's what we call reincarnation. We change from one form to another, and change the lifestyle and different surrounding.
Do you believe that because we kill animals for food, so that there is so much violence in this world?
That's not the only reason, but one of the reasons. There is also hatred within our heart. Meat eating is not worse than having hatred in the heart. And poisonous thinking, which poison the atmosphere of our earth. Violent reaction or ideas in our heart, in our mind, which activate the whole atmosphere. And that in turn also give chance or opportunity for the killing of animals and men. And that in turn breed more violent atmosphere into the world is surrounding. But mainly, if we do not kill at all, from the animal on, then we would not have violence in the first place.
Some of the teenagers of this generation have no respect for parents. Is it because we are not good parents?
No, I don't think so. It depends, huh? I wouldn't say all parents are good, but most of them are good. You see, the teenagers probably in this generation have not been groomed enough in morality, in seeing their parents as representatives of God on earth. And taking God's place to raise the children and to educate them. If the parents somehow hinder or obstruct the children when they want to realize God, then we can say these are not very good parents. But otherwise, there are no such things as no good parents. Maybe the different outlook of our teenagers nowadays, because of influence through the bad news to violent pictures and through many undesirable means of communication and bad companies, bad influence, bad friends, that makes the teenagers the way they are today. So the solution again is we have to go back to the golden age. We have to live the way the Bible teaches us to do. The way of nonviolence, the way of love, the way of enlightenment. Then we can bring our children back to their innocence, back to their ethical way of life. And even the children can get enlightenment too, and they know for themselves, and then they will change their way of life. When I was in Melbourne, there was a man, not a teenager, but about 20 years old. He took drugs and all that. A very handsome young man, strong, tall, and intelligent. Didn't get initiation because he was struggling whether he should give up the drug and all that, because we don't allow drug in our group. After he decided, and then I left Melbourne. So he followed me all the way to Sydney and threw all the drugs and even cigarettes away at that day. And he struggled hard that day, but then he made it. And then he was so glad that he did. And I'm sure he'll become a good teenager from that day on. He was very positive and happy, and he was melted in the way we love him and took care of him. And he stayed in my place one night, and then we took him back by other disciples' van, by the way, back to Melbourne. So if all of the children know the way of truth, maybe they will choose it, and then they discover love within themselves, and then they will respect the parents more. And then in turn, if the parents are more enlightened, there will be more understanding, more clear about how to raise their children. That is only my advice, my offer. Please don't be offended if I say something not suit your taste.
Are you a master in a line of spiritual masters?
I'm very shy. Don't ask me this question. You can ask my disciples through their experience if I'm worthy to be called master or not. It's through the life and the examples and the success of the disciples. So please ask them and don't ask me. I can't say things about myself very much if you ask so directly. I'm very, very puzzled. But people say, by their fruit shall thou be known. So if my disciples have accomplished something that is worth recognition by you, in a spiritual sense as well as in social level, then maybe you can satisfy your own question.
Master Qinghai, how do you feel about abortion?
You get me into trouble again. See, these are the social problems. It is not easy to say yes and no, but of course I am against it. I vote for life in any government. But again, these are worldly problems. And as a spiritual practitioner, I find it very difficult to condemn something or to support it. In the case of many poorly developed country and overpopulated nation, if I say no good, then I don't know whether I do the justice to these poor people and the starving children. While they have no other solution and not enough intelligence or organizational talent to feed them. If I say yes, that means I'm against my own principle of love. So this is up to you, the earthly people, to try to find a way to solve it. It is best still that we get enlightenment and always adhere to the principle of love and of non-violence. And then if we truly believe in God and evoke His power, every blessing will be there. And we will find plenty of means to satisfy the population. If God meant for the people to be here, He must know how to handle them. It is we who stop the blessing power from God and the nourishing program through our own limited faith in God's ability, and that we do not find our own true wisdom in order to handle all this population problem. Therefore, the answer is not yes or no. The answer for me is enlightenment. For everyone alike, for every nation, the same thing. And then we don't need to even ask this uncomfortable question, abortion or not. You understand what I mean? I wish we don't even have to raise this question, if we are enlightened in the first place. So please help me. Together we get enlightenment. We have to clean our world. If you truly love these children, if you truly find no other solution for this problem, then we have to help each other. We have to enlighten our atmosphere more by more and more people standing tall and walking God in this earth, walking with enlightenment, walking with wisdom, doing things with love. Without enlightenment, I can't discuss anything that is truly beneficial, because we will be in a mundane level only. We talk about how to feed our stomach, how to take care of this ephemeral body, which lasts only a few decades. What can we do about it? We can't keep always identifying ourselves with this ephemeral body and then trying to solve every problem. We have to solve it from the root. We have to see it from the top of the mountain, the whole view, and then to locate where we should do what things.
Is enlightenment not a form of killing a part of you, a part that comes with being human? Should we therefore not rather live life fully and therefore praise God?
Why? Do I kill a part of myself? Do you see my arm missing or something? Am I looking abnormal to you after enlightenment anyway? Do I appear to be abnormal? Or lacking something? No. I'm more fulfilled now than before. I know how to paint now, I didn't know before. I know how to make a lot of handicrafts. It's more beautiful. I couldn't imagine I could do it before. I can decorate interior room. I didn't know how to do it before. I can build river. I didn't know how to do it before. I can make mountains. I didn't know how to do it before. I can build houses with my own hands. I didn't know how to do it before. Nobody instructed me. So I'm just more full than before. More parts of me has been awakened, not taken away. After enlightenment, we make full use of our power in worldly wise as well as spiritually. So please do not be afraid. Just stand up and be great. Be what you are and make use of your talents which lay in dormant inside. The more you are enlightened, the more fulfillment you have. I play pianos, I write music. I couldn't do it before. Nobody teach me. I paint. I didn't touch a brush in my life before. My painting sew a lot. So you see, I'm not, handicapped in any way after enlightenment, but I'm more fulfilled, more able to do many things that it required of me at that precise moment. I don't overdo things. Whenever necessary or needed, I do it. Therefore, I can earn money and come here to you without bothering you, without making you afraid that I take donation from you, needing your financial support or anything. Okay? Without enlightenment, I couldn't be here even. I have not enough money to go around the world. And it's my nature not to ask from anyone, one penny even. Since I'm a child, I'd rather go hungry. I don't do this.
Please explain that between human beings, when one robs something from another, who is the real loser?
The robbers. The robber is a loser in the long term. But if he is forced to do that out of hunger, or really he can't do anything else, and he repents in his heart and he will change it, and give charity later when he can, then he doesn't lose also. He also will turn around. But he has to truly repent and give it back what he has taken through different means of charity, or give back to the owner.
Rules of any kind restrict freedom. This must be obvious to you. So why do you suggest that we should follow and live by your rules, your method, against the numerous other rules and methods offered throughout the world and the world's religions?
You may choose whatever rules or methods you want to. We just offer. And these are not my rules. Understand? Not my rules at all. These are the secret codes of better progress if you want to be enlightened quickly and without any side effect, without disturbance in your mental balance. These are no rules. If you don't kill someone else, there's no rule. If you don't steal, there's no rules. Just ordinary behavior. You make it a rules. It's no rules at all. Actually, these are only the ancient rules. I just put it there, but it might not apply to you. Actually, if you think about it, when you drive a car, because you want to be free, you want to be fast to be somewhere else, don't you follow any rules? You just drive all over places, and that's called freedom? Is that right? At the expense of others and of your own life, that is when you say you have freedom? No. Freedom is when we know how to go inside the rules that doesn't hurt our freedom. If you drive all over and don't follow the rules, you will be not in freedom, but in jail. So these are the things that help you to go straight to the kingdom of God without entangled somewhere and being obstructed or being in some jail. So therefore, this is true freedom. Just like when we drive the car in Australia, we drive on the left side. And even Australia is different from France, where they drive in the right side. But doesn't mean because of that you just drive on the right side because you are Frenchman. And you don't want to respect the rules here and you'll be in trouble. That is all. The universal rules, if we obey, we will find ourselves in a greater freedom than what we imagine freedom should be. Most of us misunderstand.
Buddhism teaches enlightenment by effort and following the Noble Eightfold Path, but you say it can be attained by your transmission from yourself. Can you explain this?
Yes, enlightenment is through your effort. Also follow the Eightfold Noble Path. I do not teach you anything that is outside the Eightfold Noble Path. And by your effort as well, because you have to sit every day, not I sit for you, but without effort, because we sit there but we don't do things, we don't do any physical thing that make us enlightened. The enlightenment comes alone, therefore with effort, but without effort. My path is the path of all the ancient Buddhas. Only after enlightenment you know what Eightfold Noble Path is. Otherwise, we just talk about it and don't truly realize and don't live the teaching of the ancient masters.
Thank you for joining us on today's Words of Wisdom. Join us tomorrow for another insightful lecture by Supreme Master Ching Hai. Coming up next on Supreme Master Television, Models of Success. Please stay tuned and have a wonderful day filled with love and God's grace.